The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Moed Katan Daf Chav Bet. Today's daf is being studied. The Adun Hashmat Avraham Ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tenichenu Begin Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied. The Adun Hashmat and Neftar Bekitzur Yamin Veshanim Amanoah Ezra Ben Mazal. Ruach Hashem Tenichenu Begin Eden. Hu Vechol Bnei Yisrael Shoch VeMimmo Farachamim VeSelichot VeNomar. Amen. We are on the bottom line of Chaf Aleph Amud Sheni, starting with Ibaya. Just to review where we're holding in this piece of the Gemara, we discussed the case over here. If the Avelim began to sit, and somebody who was part of the family, who was unbeknownst to him that the family member passed away, and he was in a Makom Karov, he was within 10 Parsaot, according to Tosafot, which is a one day's distance from where the mourners were sitting, and he surfaces within the first 3 days of the Avelut, he is Negrar after them. Which means, let's say he shows up on day 3, so he starts sitting with them on day 3, and he only has to sit 5 days until day 7, and he's finished. However, if he came from Makom Rahok, if he came from a far distance, so therefore whenever he shows up, even if he shows up within 3 days, he must count 7 days from when he gets there. Now, there is an opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that even if that family member surfaces on day 7, they're still in Avilut on day 7, so therefore he just has to count that 1 day with the family, and he gets up on that day. It should be noted that the Gemara made a condition that so long as the Gadol HaBayit was one of the ones that were sitting, Gadol HaBayit either means the older relative or the most influential one, I mean the one that makes the decisions of the family. So Gadol HaBayit is sitting, so then the Tsa'ir, the younger one, is Negrar after him. Which means if he comes, let's say, according to Rabbi Shimon, on day 7, so long as the Gadol HaBayit is over there, so therefore he's with him. However, if the Gadol HaBayit is the one that's out, and everybody else is sitting, right? So he is not Negrar after the younger members of the family. That's the Gemara's opinion up to this point. So that's the Gemara's question. Ibaya lehu. Halach gadol habayit lebet hakevarot mahu. Which means, we have a question. If let's say the gadol habayit, he was not there in the house sitting, because he went to bury the mit. So therefore, mahu, what do we say? Do we say, and Rashi says, Vishaha Sham Gimel Yamim. And he was over there between the burial and all that, so it took him 3 days. What's the question? Mahu Rashi. Li hashbina ne keman dehavi bebete. Do we say that we consider him as if he's in the house? Ho il v'letzorech hamet halach ito. Since he went for the tzorech of the met. So maybe we give him a dispensation, which means, even though he knew about the mitah, but it doesn't matter. He was involved in burying. So it could be there's a sevarat to say that if he was involved in burying, certainly he could be negrar. Or do we say, no, look at the Tosafot, the top Tosafot, Pirush, mi moneh la'atzmo. Do we say, no, he's the gadol habayit. He's not negrar after anybody. He's negrar after himself. And therefore when he comes back, he has to start himself. Or, lo. Why? Teshem kevan shutarud b'inyane met. Since he's involved in the burial of the mit, when they heard, he also heard. He's burying. And then Tosfot goes into another case, okay, which we'll see. So this is the she'ela of the Gemara. So comes the Gemara and says, Tashema. דאמר ביחיא בר אבא, אמר ביוחנן, אפילו הלך גדול הבית לבית הקברות, מונה עמהן. So the Hadush is that indeed, even if the gadol habayit went, but he went for the purpose of burying the mit, the Hadush is מונה עמהן, he counts with the family. Rashi, מונה עמהן, the avelut שלהם, התחלה, מתחילה משחזו פניהם מן המת. Which means there is going to be a difference, because the avelut of the family begins once they turn away from the mit, which means when they go home, and the mit now is being taken care of and going to be buried, their avelut begins immediately. Now, normally the Gadol by its Avilut, since he's with the Mit, would not begin until Stimat HaGolel, until after the burial itself. That could be a day or two later, maybe, till he gets it to the place. The Hadush is that when he gets back to the family, since he went for the purpose of burial, Moni' Mahim, when he cuts off some of the days of his Avilut, he saves some of the days as a result. Alright, that's the deen of Moni' Mahim. So the Gemara says, Moni' Mahim? What do you mean? You tell me Moni' Mahim, he counts with the family? That then ya Moni' La'atzmo. We have another brayta that says, no, the Gadol HaBayit has to count for himself. Lakasha. Gemara says no question. Ha de ata begotilta, de adelo ata begotilata. It depends when he surfaced. If he came within 3 days, so then already Moni' Mahim. If he came after 3 days, so then Moni' La'atzmo. So the 3 day rule that we learned in the previous daf applies to this case of the Gadol HaBayit. The Tosfot explains that the Hiddush is even according to the Bishimon. Because we held on the previous daf that the only nafkamina between 3 days and not 3 days is a person's coming from Makom Karov. If a person was Makom Karov, but a person is Makom Rahok, 3 days is not an issue. Even if he comes within 3 days, he still has to count Ma'atzmo. So Tosfot says like this, that according to the Hiddush of this Gemara here, according to Rabbi Shimon, that what? Even if he came from Makom Rahok, the Hiddush is what? That you, in the Makom Rahok, in this case, you'll still have the 3 day dispensation. He came in Makom Rahok to older brother, or the Gadol, and normally Makom Rahok, yes, the Moni' La'atzmo. The Hiddush is over here, that since he went for the burial purposes, even if he came from Makom Rahok, so long as he surfaced within 3 days, mm-hmm. So he's Moni' Mahim. But if he showed up after 3 days, so then already the deen is going to be, he has to be Moni' La'atzmo. That's the way the Tosafot understands the case. Correct. Right? The Bet Karov was Makom Rahok, because if it was Makom Karov, according to the Bishimon, even if he comes on the seventh day. So the Hadush is, according to the Bishimon, in this case, even Makom Rahok, he has 3 days to catch up with them. Comes the Gemara and continues. Ki had the Amar Lehu, like the story that Rav said, Libne Hatzalponi. Tzalponi, that she says the name of a place. The people of Tzalponi, the Atu Begotlata, they came within 3 days. So he told them, Limnu Bahadaichu. Count with the mourners. Delo Atu Begotlata, and those that did not come within 3 days, Limnu Lenafshaihu. Let them count by themselves. So obviously you have to say the cases over here where the Avelim, you had a case where they were away burying the Mit, and part of the family was Bavilut already, they were sitting. So they went to ask the rabbi what to do. So they said, the ones that came within 3 days, let them catch the Avelut. And the ones that did not, they have to count for themselves. Now from the fact that we don't know exactly who these people were, doesn't say which family members. So from the stamut of the Gemara, must be talking about all scenarios, including the case of Gadol HaBayit. Because even if the Gadol HaBayit was one of these family members, for sure the rest of the family, we know the law. Rest of the family, if the Gadol HaBayit was home, they have the 3 day rule. If they come within 3 days, they're Moni. If they come after 3 days, they're not Moni. But from the fact that this story doesn't tell us details, we can assume that Rav was saying this general in all cases, which is even if the one that wasn't home was the Gadol HaBayit, Rav was telling, he was burying, so Rav was telling him, if you come home within 3 days, you're okay, you count with them. So that's a proof that even if the Gadol HaBayit is not home, so long as he's involved in the burial, when he comes back, he picks up the avilut where the family is, so long as it's within 3 days, the Hadush is, even if he went from Makom Rahok, even if he was from a far place. Comes the Gemara and continues. Amar Lehu. Rabba Libne Mehoza. So Rabba told the people of Mehoza, Atun, Delo Azlitu Batar Arsa. You people that are not going after the coffin, which means somebody else is taking the coffin to be buried. right after the funeral, the family is going home, other people are taking the coffin to the burial. Once already you turn your face from the gate of Abula, that's like the gate of the city over there, atheilu menu, start counting, which means they don't have to wait until the mit is actually buried, which is the normal time that avilut starts. The Hebrews, once they gave it over to be taken care of, so it's out of their possession, so to speak, so the avilut begins that day. It's a big nafkamina. Jeez, let's say they gave it over right before sunset, so therefore that day will be considered day one, even though they didn't bury him till, let's say, till after sunset. So the hadush is that they shave the day off of the avilut because of this halakha. Look at Rashi. The lo azlitu batar arsa, the man de azil batar arsa, the one that's going after the coffin itself, lo hayla ale avilut ad shenistam
golel.
He has to wait until they actually bury. For example, let's say they're taking the body from Babel to Eretz Yisrael for burial. Not all the relatives go to Eretz Yisrael. They go parsa or mil. That's the outer gate of the city, and its surroundings. They go back to the house. Even though, let's say, the mit wasn't buried until several days later, even though normally avilut doesn't hal until the stimat golel, until the burial, the didchu de lo me'azim hazaratchem k'nestem golel. You're not going there, so when you go home, that's considered like stibat gedel for you, which is you're finished with the mit, and therefore the avilut begins immediately. And then we go back to the regular rules that we said above. The guy that comes back, if he comes back within so according to the Bishimon, we said that even if he comes back on day 7, the Chaura, technically he'll be able to join them. Now the Ramban says over here that Davka, this case is talking where they were kovered him, where they buried him in another city. So then already when they turn their heads away, and they go back home, they start. That's considered kistimata, that the kibbutz was finished. However, in the same city, the Ramban wants to say they're not masiya da'at until they know that he was actually buried before Al. And then they start the avilut only after they find out. So there's nafkamina there. The Ritba says that even though they start their avilut immediately, once they turn their backs to the mit, he says that they're not obligated to take off their shoes because they're starting avilut now. They can wait till they get home until they take off their shoes. Okay, so comes the Gemara now and continues. Comes the Gemara and continues. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Afilu ba bayom shvi'i memakom karov mone amahen. According to Rabbi Shimon, his shita was that even if the fellow surfaces, the family member that does not know about the avilut, he surfaces on day 7, dafka b'makom karov again. So we say what? Halakha is moni' mahem, he just sits one day. So the Gemara says, Amar b'chaya bar gamda, Amar b'yosef ben Shaul, Amar b'i v'hu sheba u'matza menachamim etzlo. The case is talking about where the mourners were still sitting on the 7th day, and the consolers were still consoling them. What's the point of this Gemara? We learned according to Abba Shaul, Miksat Tayom Kikulo, on the 7th day. And therefore, once the 7th day enters, the Avilut is over technically. So what do you mean he surfaces on the 7th day? The Avilut is over, it's finished. He should have to start counting on his own. So the Hadush is, even though we say Miksat Tayom Kikulo, so long as they're still sitting, and they're still receiving mourners, consolers, that's considered enough. They can be considered that they're still ba'avilut in order to mistaref the family member that comes to them. Rashi, v'hu shelo amdu menachamim etzo sheba b'shvi'i shacharit ad shelo amdu menachamim etzel ze shebebayit. Very good. So now the Gemara has a question. Ba'e Rav Anan Nin'aru la'amod. Let's say already the consolers they already, when he walked in, this family member, literally they started to shake, meaning to stir, to get up. She caught them, they're ready to leave. Velo amdu, but they didn't get up yet technically. Mahu. So the question is, how do you consider that? Since they're still technically sitting, so therefore it's considered still the day, or since they're planning to get up, so therefore you go after the kavana, therefore they want, they're leaving already. Mahu. So the Gemara says this, tiku. Gemara leaves it in a tiku, meaning in an abeyance. Okay, the way the Rashi learns over here, ninaru la'amod min na'ni'im. Now, like I said, they're stirring. Virotzim la'amod. Comes the Gemara and continues. Gimidi habre d'Rabbi Abba bar hiya mirabbi Abba. Which means the friends of Rabbi Abba bar hiya learnt from Rabbi Abba. Uman, who are these friends? Rabbi Zera. The Amri la havre d'Rabbi Zera mirabbi Zera. The friends of Rabbi Zera from Rabbi Zera, and who's that? Umar Rabbi Abba b'Rid Rabbi Chaya bar Abba. And what did they say in the name of Amar Rabbi Yohanan? Halacha k'Rabban u'k'Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel b'Terefot. When it comes to the laws of Terefot, not all the laws of Terefot, but in one specific case which the Gemara will tell us, we're going to follow Rabbi Shimon in the laws of Terefot. Halacha k'Rabbi Shimon be'Avil. And the halakha follows Rabbi Shimon when it comes to the laws of Avilut. Specifically this law that we just learned, that if he shows up on the seventh day, Moneh Ammahim. So the Gemara says, can Rabbi Shimon be'Avil hada amaran? Okay, we said that case already. Rabbi Shimon be'Avilut is the case of, like we just said, if he shows up on the seventh day, Moneh Ammahim. That doesn't mean in all the cases of Terefot. In one specific case, that now we have a Mishnah. Let's say the intestines of the animal were punctured. There was a hole. And that would make the animal a Terefa. But there's certain mucus that if you press the intestines, the mucus will come out and seal the hole. Kishira. So that's already considered satum. If the mucus is able to seal it. That's the Bachar Gamal Shita. Mailiha. What is this mucus that we're talking? Amar of Kana. Shirka. The Ma'aya. That's the mucus that comes out of the Ma'ayim of the intestine. The Nafik Agav Duhka. That comes out when you apply pressure. So therefore, if you would apply pressure and the mucus would come out and seal the hole, he says it is considered okay. So the Gemara says, Amar Mandehu, a certain rabbi that is unknown. Mandehu said, a certain rabbi. Iske, I should have the zechut, the asik, and go up to Eretz Yisrael, the igmera lishma'ta, and I should have the zechut to learn the halakha, mepume demare, from the mouth of the one that said it. Which means he should have the zechut to learn from Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Chaya bar Abba, that quoted Rabbi Yohanan. Rabbi Yohanan was from Eretz Yisrael. So the rabbi we just said was Rabbi Abba, the son of Rabbi Chaya. He should have the zechut, this fellow, this rabbi said, to go up to Israel to hear the Devarei Torah straight from the source itself. Kisalik, when he went up to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechel Rabbi Abba b'Rid Rabbi Chaya bar Abba. He found him. Amar le, so he tells him, Amar mor halakha kiraban Shimon ben Gamliel b'trefot. Is it true? We heard from your name that you said that the halakha follows Rashbag in the law of Terefot, meaning in the case of the Bnei Me'ayim that were punctured. Amar le, so he tells him back, quite the opposite. Ana in halakha amre. I said that the opposite halakha is not like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel when it comes to the case of the Terefa. So he says, Kerabi Shimon be'avel mai. Okay, so now he says, what about the case of the Avelut? What's the shita when it comes to the Avelut case? Amale peluktaninu. So actually that is indeed a machloket. De itmar, Rav Chisda amar halakha, vechen amar Rabbi Yohanan halakha. So we have two rabbis that said, including Rabbi Yohanan halakha, is that we're lenient, like Rabban Shimon Gamliel, legabeh. Avilut, Rabbi Shimon, sorry, Rabbi Shimon, we're lenient. Rabbi Nachman Amar, in halakha. And Rabbi Nachman said, halakha does not follow Rabbi Shimon. Ve'en halakha kerabban Shimon migamliel b'terefot. Bottom line, when it comes to terefot, we don't follow Rashbag. והלכה כרבי שמעון באבל. But when it comes to אבל, they do follow, they're lenient. Why? דאמר שמואל, הלכה כדברי המקל באבל. Like we learned many times the rule that when it comes to אבלות, we take the lenient opinion, and this is a lenient opinion, because it's saying that when the family member serves on day 7, he's done. He just has to sit for that one day, or whatever it is, for a few minutes, and he gets up. So therefore, he says, they're going to follow the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Now the Gemara, to the end of the daf, is going to discuss differences in avelut of regular family members or chas v'shalom avvaim when it comes to the mourning of a parent. So the Gemara is going to give different stringencies that would apply. The Gemara begins. Al kol hametim kulan, when it comes to all the metim, the five relatives besides parents, madhe mitato areze mishubah, speeding the burial, meaning burying quickly, madhe, pushing, getting it done very quickly, without delay, areze mishubah. This is considered, she says, memaher lehotzi'o. You do it very quickly to get the burial, this is praiseworthy. Al abi va'al imo areze migune. But on parents, quick burial, this is considered megune. Now, what's the reason why it's megune? So the Nemuke Yosef explains, because when it comes to other relatives, there's not such an obligation to be maspid, to eulogize. And therefore, leaving the body is a bizayon. However, when it comes to parents, there's a kavod to maspid them the proper way. And therefore, taking one's time is proper when it comes to this. Haya Erev Shabbat. But let's say the parents passed away on Erev Shabbat, or Erev Yom Tov. So then, if they're not going to be buried, they're going to have to wait a full day or till the burial. So then, harezeh mishubah. Then already it's mishubah to bury them quickly. Why? She'en oseh ela lechbod abi ve'emo. Because then it's clear, you're doing it for the kavod abi ve'emo, to get them buried quickly. Next thing. Al kol ha'metim kulan, when it comes to all other people, Ratza mima'ed be'isko, ratza eno mima'ed be'isko. He has an option. He wants to minimize his isek, literally his work, or if he doesn't want. However, alabi ve'imo mima'ed. When it comes to the parents, he's obligated to be mima'ed. Now what are we talking? We learned above that avil is asur ba'asiyat melacha. All types of avilut. So obviously you have to say we're talking about asakim that are mutal la'asot. For example, davar avid, which we said is mutar. So when it comes to other avilim, yeah, you want to do the davar avid, you can do it. You don't want to do it. When it comes to avvaim, mahmir. Even things that are permissible, for example, davar avid, one should refrain. So avaim is more chamur. Other interpretations, as the Ran explains, that davka asiyat melacha during avilut is asur. However, transactions like sechora, like business deals and things like that, is really mutar. And therefore, the hadush is ba'abi ve'imo, even sechora, even just transactions, not actually physical melacha, would be asur. Comes the Gemara now and gives the next difference. Al kol ametim kulan, on all the other people that pass away, ratza choletz, ratza eno choletz. There's a rule over here called halitzat katif. At the cemetery, when they would carry the mit to be buried, the custom was, in some places, they would actually take off their shirt to reveal their shoulder, and they would take their arm out. So their arm and shoulder was revealed. This was a sign of avelut. So when it comes to the other deceased, they want to make halitzat katef, reveal their shoulder. They can. If they don't want, they don't have to. However, al abi v'al imo choletz. But when it comes to burying parents, so then already the deen is, there is, must have halitzat katef. The Rosh explains from Rabbeinu Meir that halitza over here refers to the shoes. So he learns that if a person wants to take off the shoes at the cemetery already, before he gets home, for other relatives you want to, you don't have to. However, Habib Imor ready to take off the shoes off from the cemetery itself. There was a story of a gadol ador. a great rabbi of the generation, Shemet Abiv, the father of the Gadol, passed away. Ubikesh lahlotz. So he wanted to make chalitzat katef. Ubikesh gadol ador aher she'imo lahlotz. So there was another gadol that was with him. So he saw that the first gadol is going to make chalitzat katef. It's a big bezayon. So he said, to minimize the bezayon of the first rabbi, he'll make chalitzat katef with him. So at least he's not the only one. So he said to commiserate with him. V'nimna ve'lo halatz. So now the first one refrained. Because he said, if my chalitzat katef is going to cause this gadol now to do something that he's really not obligated to do, I don't want him to be mifaseh himself. So therefore the first one refrained. So comes the Gemara and says, Amar Abaye gadol ador Rabbi. Who was the first gadol ador? Rabbi. Which means it was Rabbi's father that passed away. Gadol ador she'imo, and who was the gadol ador that was with him? Rabbi Yaakov bar Aha. The Ika de Amri, and some say the exact opposite. Gadol ador Rabbi Yaakov bar Aha. Gadol ador she'imo, and the gadol that was with him, Rabbi. What's enough coming out? The Gemara says, Pishtama leman da amar. Gadol ador she'imo Rabbi. If you say that the second gadol was Rabbi, Hainu de nimna velo halatz. Now we know why the first rabbi was Moneya from making, refrained from making Halitzat Katif, because Rabbi was the Nasi. He didn't want to cause Rabbi now to have to make Halitzat Katif, so he was, you know, protecting the honor of Rabbi. And Rabbi Yaakov Baracha. But if you say that the second Gadol was Rabbi Yaakov Baracha, and the one that was mourning really was Rabbi for his father, velo halatz. How come he did not, how come he refrained? Why? Which means, why did Rabbi refrain? In order that Rabbi Yaakov shouldn't have to rip. Why? What's the question? Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Nasi Haba. Rabbi's father was Rabban Shimon Gamliel. Rabbi now is mourning for the not only his father, he's the Nasi of Israel. So therefore, everybody has to make Halitzat Katef for the Nasi of Israel. So therefore, what is he doing? He was ready. Rabbi's about to make Halitzat Katef for his father. He saw Rabbi Yaakov was with him. So he said, oh, Rabbi Yaakov wants to make Halitzat Katef. I want to refrain from making Halitzat Katef. I don't want him to be Mevuzeh. So he refrained. So he goes, what are you talking about? It doesn't matter. If Rabbi's making Halitzat Katef for his father's the Nasi of Israel. Ve'kule alma mechayev lemichlatz. And everybody's obligated to make Halitzat Katef for the Nasi of Yisrael. So that's the Gemara's question. Gemara says, Kashya. Gemara, leave that in a Kashya. Now, we know that when the Gemara says Kashya, it's answerable. When the Gemara says Tiyufta, it breaks it. So over here, the kid in Ora wants to answer an answer like this. It says like this, that could be that when it comes to Gadol Hador, maybe he does not have to make Halitzat Katef for the Nasi. Which means when it says everybody has to make Halitzat Katef, it doesn't mean the Gadol Hador. So could be, that's why Rabbi had to. But the Hadush is not at the expense of the Gadol Hador that was with him. I said, what do you mean by Gadol Hador? Everybody has to make Halitzat Katef. Yeah, but not the Gadol Hador. Everybody means everybody else. It could be that in this case over here, that's why the B was able to refrain in order to stop the B. To protect the B. Yaakov.
It's his father and the Nasi.
Correct, but it doesn't matter. He wants to protect the Gadol Ador's Kavod. You don't have to lower his Kavod. So that's why he says you can't answer that question.
What was that?
That was Kedin Ora wants to say. Next Gemara. Gemara says, Al kol ha-metim kulan. When it comes to all the other metim, mistaper lahar lamid yom. So the shaving or the haircuts is a 30-day situation. Al abiv al immo. But when it comes to parents, ad shigaru bo haverav. Which means, until his friends come along and tell him, you need a haircut. They have to rebuke him. They have to say your hair's too long, you have to take a haircut. Now, so what does this mean? So the Mefashim, most of the Rishonim learn that you need both things. You need the 30 days, and after the 30 days, you need a Gi'ara, which is two things. And if the friends would go'ed him before 30 days, not enough. So therefore the hadush of Abba'im is both. And that's the inyan. That's what they do. They're on the 30th day, really, after a full 30 days, so it's not until the 31st day that he's really allowed to take a haircut. They tell him, go take a haircut. You know, you don't look comely anymore. Go take a haircut. We just have to make gara, and then we say it is permissible. So that's the difference between the regular avilut or the avilut of av va'im. Okay? Comes the Gemara and continues. Next difference. Right, that's why Tosafot learns, by the way. Achi garubo haverav. Then Tosafot has another point there. We can read it inside. Nire de regel eno mevatel davar ze. Just wants to say the regel does not mevatel for a avvaim, which means normally we say the regel, if the shloshim started before, the regel is mevatel the shloshim. So the chaurav, it's for avvaim as well. The regel is mevatel the shloshim. Be able to take a haircut before. That Halacha really says, for Avvaim, nothing breaks the 30. The 30 days, full 30 days, even if there's a regel in between, which is the Gabe haircuts and shaving like that, it is still going to be Asur. Tosfot on the bottom line there says, Ki'im kemo shikatavti ad shi yishlach pera vigarubo. You need both things. Gidul pera, meaning growing your hair, is 30 days, plus a Gara. Next case. Al kol ha-metim kulan, all the other metim, nichnas lebet ha-simcha le'achar lamidyum. After 30 days, he can go to simachot. He can go to, we call it what, parties, or a place where there's simcha. So the Gemara says, alabi v'alimo le'achar yabchodesh. But for parents, person not to go to simachot, until after 12 months. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Hanna. Ul-Simhat Miri'ut. That which we said, Simha, it's not weddings. It's only talking about Simhat Miri'ut, meaning gathering of friends. It's a different type of Simha. It's lower than a wedding, which means even after the 30 days, by Sha'ar Avelim, they don't let them just go to any parties. They can only let them go. The dispensation is for Simhat Miri'ut. It seems weddings is longer. That's out of the question. That even applies after 30 days. Now she says, "L'simchat miri'ut, seuda she'osim re'im ve'ahubim ze'im ze." V'lo avi simchat kol kach, but seuda the simchat kigon de nesu'im lo meti ve. So the Gemara has a question. Ul simcha ul miri'ut lamidyom. We have a clear brayta that says for simachot, which would be like a wedding, and Saudat Miri'im, it's 30 days. So how could you tell me, Rava, that Saudat Hatan, let's say a wedding is Asur after 30 days, here it's clearly Mashma, that you have two different items. You have Simha and Miri'ut, either or, after 30 days is permissible. The Gemara leaves that off in Kasha. So comes the Gemara and says, comes the Gemara and says, Amemor Matni Hache. Amemor has a different version. Amar Abba Bar Hana. Ul Simhat Miri'ut, when it comes to a party of friends, Mutali Kanes Le Altar. It's permissible to go immediately after the 7 days. After the 7 days. Of Atanya, Le Simha Sheloshim, Ul Miri'ut Sheloshim. But what do you mean? It says clearly over here that for Saudat Miri'im, they're only allowing it after 30. How could you tell me? Mutal Altar, La Kasha, Ha Ba'arisuta, Ha Bepur'anuta. Now, to understand this, we have to understand the way they used to make parties in the olden days. They used to have rotating parties, which means you used to have a group of friends, let's say, and every time the party would be by somebody else's house, and then everybody else has to reciprocate and therefore make it by them. So now it depends. If, let's say, you're paying back, which is the cycle already started. Reciprocating. Now you're reciprocating. Now it came to you, that person's turn, after 7 days, since it's reciprocating, it's permissible.
Right.
However, right away, after 7 days. However, that which is said you have to wait after 30, that's what the first word. To start the rotation, starting the cycle, which is not reciprocating, you're starting the cycle, then it's going to be asur. So that's why he wants to answer. So according to this version of Amemor, is a type of stu that mini'im that in the Kanami would be mutar immediately, and according to this version as well, Saudat Hata would be permissible after 30.
Yeah.
Like the Braita said. Look at Rashi. Haba Arisuta. Habe Furanuta. Furanuta Milashon Pirraon. Which means if you're paying back. Arisa Ainu Shimbatil Ehadbim Nasot Seuda. Right? Ummalve Lichulam. It's like he's lending. Right, he's a lender in this case over here, because he's lending them, so to speak, and then they're going to owe him back. Already he's on the payback. Already he's in the rotation. He has to pay back. What do you mean? He can say now he's avil. No, he owes the Sauda. So therefore, already the rotation began. It is permissible. According to the second version of it, Amemor, he's telling you that the altar Saudat Miri'ut is mutar, Saudat Miri'ut of a payback, regular Saudat Miri'ut after 30, and Saudat Mitzvah, like a Saudat Hatan, also after 30 immediately would be mutar. Tosfot has a question, Saudat Brit Milah, is that considered a Saudat Mitzvah or not? That would be a suit only after 30, or could be permissible even within 30, because we do not make the Berachav Shas Simcha B'Me'ono at a Brit Milah. So therefore Tosfot has a Safek regarding that case. In any event, the Gemara continues. We get to the next case. Al kol ha-metim kulan korei ha-tefah. Okay, now we discuss the kiri'ah. On all deceased people, I mean the five, the kiri'ah is a tefah. That's, let's say, between 3 and 4 inches. Al abi v'alimo, but on the mother and father, ad shigale et libo. He has to reveal his heart. Okay, that's a bigger kiri'ah. Yerushalmi explains over here that since now he lost the mitzvah of kibud avim, so he has to make a bigger type of kiri'ah. He has to reveal his heart. Amar of Abu, Rav Abu says me'e kira. Where do we know this from? So it says that kiri'ah minimum is a tefach. Vayichazek David bibgadav vayikra'im. Says David held on to his garment, by hazek, he held on to them and he tore them. Ve'en achiza pachot metefach. You say you hold something, the minimum holding is a tefach. So therefore he ripped a tefach. And the Gemara continues, al kol ha-metim kulam afilu lavush asara halukin eno koreya ela elyon. On other deceased people, the five, he does not have to rip all his garments. He only has to rip the outer garment, right? The garment that is above all his garments. That's called elyon. Alabi valimo koreya et kulan. He has to rip all the garments that he's wearing. Ve'afikirsuto ena me'akevet. Now what is afikirsuto? Rashi. She'al roshot. That's like the sudar that he wears over his head. Ena me'akevet kulan eno sadik lekura. Even though it drapes over his shoulders, so you might have thought that it's considered like a beged. No, that's considered a hat. He doesn't have to make the kiri'ah. He doesn't have to make kiri'ah on the hat. Echad ha'ish ve'echad isha. Now according to this, whether it's a man or it's a lady, they're hayavim l'krowa. According to Tanakama, they make kiri'ah the regular way, which is even fa'av va'em. According to Tanakama, she has to reveal a heart. You'll say it's not sini'ut. Tanakama is going to say that at the time of Avelut there's no hirur avera, and therefore he allows it. However, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, ha'isha kora'at et ha'tachton. She rips the bottom garment that's close to her body, u'mahazirato la'achoreha, and then she turns it to the back, so therefore it's covered, ve'chozeret ve'kora'at et ha'alyon. And then she rips the garment above that. So therefore, you cannot see her heart. It's covered. Again, she has the garment that's close to her body. She rips next to her heart. And then she turns it
to the back.
So therefore, the other rip is in the back. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's covered. and the garment above that she rips connected the heart. So now when you're looking in, you don't see anything. You see the lower garment. And therefore it's siniut. Because he holds that sanua for the lady to have to reveal a heart to be revealed, even at the time of Avilut. So it's a machloket Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Okay. Yeah, the garment is close to her
inner garment. Inner garment.
Yeah, I'll call a metim kulan. Okay, now we move to the next case. On all the metim, besides his mother and his father, ratza mavdil kameh safa shelo, ratza eno mavdil. If he wants to rip kameh safa, literally means in front of the safa, which means like the collar, for the border of the shirt, if he wants to, he can. If he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to. Al abiv al imo mavdil. But on the mother and the father, he has to. Now, what is this referring to? So if you want to look over here, the way they're explaining it over here, according to Rashi, when he says, Ratza mavdil kameh safa shelo, Rashi says, She'eno besafa shefnei savar,
the collar,
the korea tahtea, which is kameh safa, in front of the collar. In front of the collar, which would mean the collar is on top of the shirt, and he wants to rip it, below it. Kameh safa, in front of the collar. He wants to, he doesn't want to. However, that's enu mavdil, which means that's ripping the actual collar itself. So again, according to Rashi, that's mavdil kameh safa shelo, that means if he wants to rip under the collar, it's permissible. That's enu mavdil, which means that would be a case where he's ripping by the collar itself. Right, that's shitat Rashi that we have in our girsa. Kameh is in front of the collar, mutar. According to Eno Mavdila, means you're doing it on the collar itself. However, Ba'abi Ve'imo has to be the collar itself. Dafka, the kiryah starts from the collar. And the Gemara continues. Rabbi Yehud, again, according to Abi Ve'imo, Rashi, we'll treat the Gemara inside. I'll call a metim, come not some Mavdil, come safa, shorot, say, Mavdil. Abi Ve'imo, Mavdil. Which is, it's beyond the collar. It's Kame Safa. According to Rashi, it's Kame Safa. We'll see how the shittur in a second. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol kiri'ah she'eru mavdil kameh safa shelo, any kiri'ah that's not in front of the collar, eno ela kera shel teflut. This is a worthless, useless kiri'ah. Amar Rabbi Abu, mai ta'amad Rabbi Yehuda, what's the reason Rabbi Yehuda? Dikhtiv, vayhazek bibgadim, bibgadav, vayikra'em nishnayim. The Shnaim Kedaim. It says he held his garment and he ripped it into two pieces. Now, yeah, so when it says pieces, it's automatically two. What does that have to say? The Shnaim Kedaim. Mimashma Shnema Vayikraim. Well, actually, from the word Vayikraim. Mm-hmm. He tore them. Yes. So it's he split them. Any of that Shem Shnaim? Isn't that obviously that he did it into two pieces? Ela Shinirim Kedurim Kishnaim. You have to rip it in a way where it's nir'eh kishnayim. Now, according to Rashi, you have to say that when the garment is ripped beyond the collar, it looks like you're ripping the garment into two. But ripping the collar itself, it doesn't look like you split the garment itself. That's the way we have it. Rashi, let's read it inside. That's some of the kameh safa. She'eno besafa shelifnei asavar, ela kameh safa shelifnei asafa shelifnei asavar, she'ena kiru'a, which is you're not ripping the collar itself, under it, you want it to be seen, it's more visible when it's beneath. You're separating beneath the safa. That's a eno mavdil. Ela korea shumet ha-savar. Or you can cut the actual collar itself. Even though it's not so visible, they are called bet ha-savaru. It's all considered bet ha-savar, it's all considered kiri'ah. Alabi ve'imo mavdil kameh savar kedei shindirei ha-kera. But my mother and father has to be beneath, so it's visible. Kerash of the flute, kerash of the flute, the Yehuda says, it's a useless kerah. Which means, it looks like he's just ripping the collar.
The neckline.
He's not ripping the neck, he's not ripping the garment itself.
It's useless.
Can only rip the garment if it's visible, it looks like you split it into two. Mevdil kameh safa. V'nir'eh bet savar. Kera acher. What does he mean by that, Rashi? Vayikraim nishlam en kolim ela shenir'e kishnayim, which has to be visible like two. Mavdil kameh safa. Good, it has to be in front of the safa. V'nir'e bet ha-safar kera acher. I guess when you do the beta savar, it looks like it's a separate kera. Yeah. It looks like you're splitting the garment into two. Now that's the she that we have. Now look at the she in the Kitav Yad. There's a different interpretation over here. The she Kitav Yad says like this: Ratzam mavdil kameh safah shelo, kum matchil kriyah mehalal beta savar. It's the exact opposite. Kameh safah means the collar itself. That's not enom mavdil matchiv rokev lemata. And enom mavdil bekameh safah is the middle. Yeah. So according to this, it's the exact opposite, that by aviv ve'emot davka the kriyah has to come from the collar itself and not beneath it. And that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. Any rip that's not in the collar itself, the garment doesn't look like it's in half. It's just like you made a rip in the center, but to rip the garment itself, you have to start from the top of the garment. Look at that she.
Which one?
Look at that she in the Kitav Yad. By Hazik Mabgadav. Incidentally, that was by Elisha when he was ripping his garments when Eliyahu Navi passed away, when Eliyahu Navi actually went up to the Shamayim. Elisha Ketiv, Shekara Eliyahu Dazil Mineh. Melamed shenirim kishnayim. Okay, so it has to be visible like two. So this is the machloket amongst the rishonim. What is considered mekameh safa? In front of the collar or the collar itself? Kol ametim kulan. Again, besides the father and mother, sholel lehar shiva. Which means the rip or the tear that the person made on the garment after 7 days, he's allowed to sew it up. However, not in the normal fashion. He has over here with wide stitching. Mm-hmm. Okay? That's after Shiva. And after Shloshim, he's able to sew it up in the normal fashion. But when it comes to mother and father, after 30 days, you could sew it up with the wide stitching. We cannot fix it and sew it up in the normal way forever. But a lady that's avela sholalto le'altar, which means even within the seven, mipnei kevoda, because of the respect of the tzniut. Now obviously you have to say this is going like tenakama, because according to the other shita, Rabbi Shimon, you turned it around. There's no problem of tzniut. So according to tenakama, that said what? That you, the person, the lady is ripping by the heart, let's say, mamash. So therefore the hadush is that even immediately she could be sholel, just out of kavod. You don't sew it normally. And then, right, and then following that, if it's abiv ve'imo, she could never be me'acheh, she could never do it. But if it's other relatives, after 30, she could re-sew it in the normal fashion. Comes the Gemara now and brings other halukim. Ki ataravin. When Avin came from Bavel, actually, when Avin came to Bavel from Eretz Israel, Amar Rabbi Yohanan, he quoted from Rabbi Yohanan. Yohanan was the rabbi of Eretz Israel. Al kol ametim ratza koreya biyad, ratza koreya bikli. Al abi ve'limo biyad. On other relatives, how do you make the kiriyah? Person wants to make the kiriyah with his hand, or he wants to use a keli, like a scissors or a blade, this is permissible. It seems when it's done biyad, it's more of a bitterness, it's more of a sadness, and therefore, that's the reason why davka, which is a bigger, davka biyad. The Mefashim do point out, if you're ripping, according to Shita, to say the safa, sometimes the collar is thicker, so you could start it with the scissors, and then continue the tearing down with the yad, just to get a grip. Which means the person is able to make the kiri'ah in private, inside. He doesn't have to do it in front of the people. He has to make the kiri'ah in public, which means outside. We're talking about where, according to the Shita. Inside or outside? Public or private? Now, Rashi over here obviously has a different understanding. Rashi over here by us wants to say, Al Sha'ar Kirobav hu machnis yado tachat begadav va'alyon, which is Al Sha'ar Kirobav, he puts his hand from underneath the garment, right? And is able to make the kiri'ah, in order that the kiri'ah is not visible to everybody. However, Abib Ve'imo, it's forbidden to cover the kiri'ah with the outer garment. Eli says, "Poshet bigdo ha'elyon v'koreya ad bigadav." The question according to this is both pshatim. Does Aviv Ve'imo have to be visible? What's pshat visible? That they have to see him making the kiri'ah. So according to Aviv Ve'imo, yes. First explanation means the ripping has to be done in view of the people. According to the second explanation, Bahutz means he must make the rip from the outside so they see the actual ma'aseh kiri'ah. He's ripping from the outside of the garment. So they see his hand tearing the garment. But according to Sh'ar Avelim, Sh'ar people, that besides mother and father, he can do it inside without anybody's doing it. If he's doing it in front of them, he can stick his hand under his cloak and rip from the inside so they don't actually see the ma'aseh kiri'ah. Comes the Gemara and says, Amar of Chazda, v'chen l'nasi. Similarly, this applies to the Nasi of Klai Yisrael that passed away, that everybody is hayav to make a kiri'ah mibachutz, from the outside. It has to be done in public, and everybody has to be able to see the ma'aseh kiri'ah. What's the reason? The Nasi, everybody wants to be marbe tzar. You have to be marbe with the tzar. You have to have the Nasi, the president of Klai Yisrael. So then you have to be marbe with tzar in order that everybody is mitabel. Meti, the Gemara has a question. Lo hushvu le'abiv ul'immo ela le'ichui bilvad. The Braita that comes along and says that when we talk about a rabbi that taught a person Torah, or the Nasi, or the Abedin, all those Chachamim are only compared to Abiv Ve'imon, the laws of Avelut, only legabe re-sewing the garment after it's ripped. Just like a mother and father, you can't re-sew it normally, so too for a Rav, a Nasi, or Abedin, you cannot re-sew the rip in a normal fashion. My love, afilu l'nasi. Now it's mashmah that the Nasi is included in these rabbis, and the only deen that they're similar to Abiv Ve'imo is what? Ihui. And now you tell me, no, there's another halakha that they're similar in. Like Abed outside. Yabra says, no, levar min nasi. Now these things that we said was talking about Rav, or talking about Abedin. But when it comes to Nasi, Nasi is equal to Abiv Ve'imo in all the halakhot, including the law of outside. So there's a difference between a Nasi and an Abedin. And the Gemara says, Nesi'ah Shachiv. Came one time that the Nasi of Klai Yisrael in Bavel, we call him the Resh Geluta, they treated him like the Nasi, he passed away. Amar of Hazdan of Hanan Barava, Kefe Asita Vekum Ala. He told him, turn over the mortar and stand up so all the people could see you. So they all see that you're ripping your garment. And therefore they'll also do like you. So what do you see from here? That when it comes to Nasi, the kiri'ah has to be done from the outside, in public, so everybody sees it, just like the deen of Av. Baruch Adonai L'Olam.